T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's a fly ball to center field. Lorenzo Cain going back at the wall. Freddie Freeman's left the yard and put the Braves on top in the bottom of the eighth with a solo shot to left center. They lead it 5-4 in game 4 of the NLDS.
I figured, you know, they were going through the meat of our lineup, and it was a good move. I would have done the same thing. And honestly, I had so many things going through my mind. You know, we just kind of blown up the bench, and you know, like I say, I was looking, and he hit it, and I watched the ball, and I was like, my God, he got it. So I was distracted almost.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brian Snicker reacting to the fact that Josh Hader was in a 4-4 game in the eighth inning for Milwaukee, and of course the big blow from Freddie Freeman. And we're asking you this morning if Freeman's home run was the peak of a season where we didn't much expect to be in this position to begin with. Let's just call it what it is, right? I mean, rewind here, okay? Acuña gets injured. You're 7.5 games out behind Philadelphia. You know, at that juncture of the year, if I had been telling you that in mid-October, the Braves would be headed back to the NL Championship Series and heading back in style, would you have believed me? Or you would have said, all right, Kool-Aid boy, what are you talking about? You know, you're just such a homer. You have no idea. This team is shot. They're done. You know, I mean, you probably would have said that. And rightfully so at the time, because that's what it looked like. So was Freddie's home run the peak of the season, or are we just starting something? Because that's the question on the table this morning. It's at our Twitter, at 929 The Game. It's on my Twitter, at John Fricke. Was Freeman's home run the end of more than we could have expected this year, or was it the first blow in a magical run? Season peak or just starting? Season peak or just starting? 404-741-0929. 404-741-0929. I hear tell, Abe, you're not real happy with Brian Snicker.
There's the second half of that quote that we didn't air. I know Orin's getting it ready. The second half of the quote got under my skin a little bit. And so... I want to hear it. I want everyone to hear it so they understand where I'm coming from with it. Snickers. I know Andy and Randy kind of do this a lot, where they pull a bite from Snicker, where he's like, "Yeah, man, I just watched it and enjoyed it and whatever he says." I don't know, but it's just one of those things that he said this, and I was taken aback that we heard a manager entering the NLCS say this. Oren's got it queued up. Let's hear the second half of that quote.
Somebody asked me if I was thinking that. I had so many things going on in my mind when that happened, when he hit that ball. I say that was like the perfect ending. Unbelievable. And to God, I don't know that I've ever been involved in a game like that. Just the intensity and everything that went on and back and forth, and my God, it was something else.
It's game 4 of the NLDS, dude. Like, calm down. You were in elimination games in the CS last year. Well, I don't even remember.
Man can't enjoy a big moment.
When you're the manager and you have to prepare to finish out the series, finish out the game, I don't know if I've ever been involved in a game like that. You're a lifer. You've been with this Braves organization for 50 years. It's game 4 at home of a divisional series. Like, dude, come on.
Boy, there's an overreaction that you can
read
on.
Stop
it, Abe. Really? I mean, can the man can't enjoy it?
He said, as manager, I didn't know what to do, or whatever he said in the first half of that. Like, he didn't know how to react. I don't know. Make sure Will Smith's up and ready.
Oh, I'm sure that was the case.
Figure out who's coming up to the plate for the Brewers and how you want to align the defense. Like, managerial stuff.
I don't know. Maybe I misread this, okay? I get there is, and Abe speaks for a huge block of Braves Twitter that gets into serious baseball weeddom and geekdom with Brian Snicker and how he does not fit the roles and the decisions that he makes and things of that nature. And those who think that, hey,
there's
listen,
two Brian Snickers. There's okay. two.
The fact that we have not won a championship here with Brian Snicker, which is, you know,
that doesn't bother me.
The Bobby Cox thing.
That doesn't bother me. I don't think we've had the best team.
But again, here's my defense of him. My defense of him is in two cases, he had to go through reworks in the middle of a year. First year, he won the title. He won it with a very young team, right?
You're walking me to my point, but go on.
Okay, well, I will walk you to your point. Wins it with a very young team that wasn't supposed to win a title and takes them to a division championship. Second year, he has to rework the entire bullpen middle of the season, all right? Third year, he's got to go through COVID. And the fourth year, he's got to go through the reworking of an outfield that went from Acuna, Pache, and Ozuna to whatever he had to go to, and keeping the locker room all together, losing those guys and having what happened with Ozuna, which could have brought down some locker rooms, I think, considering not only his impact on the lineup but also his impact in terms of the mix it up and everything else that he meant to the team in terms of his vibe on the ball club. Now, having said all that, I think that the Braves are in a position right now because largely of Brian Snicker.
You're missing my point here, John, and that's that there are two Brian Snickers. Regular season Brian Snicker is among the very best managers in baseball, the absolute very best. I think he's taken this Braves team to division championships they had no business winning. No doubt about that. The last 4 years, three of them, I would say, they had no business winning. I think he's a great regular season manager. I think in the postseason, when you maybe need a manager to make exactly the right calls and bridge the gap between you and the other team, be the difference, I don't think that's coming from him.
All right, well, you know what? I think that – how about this? How about we say jury out, let's see what he does this year. Because so far, the calls that he's made in terms of Jock Peterson and Rosario and the bench and having to – you know, whether you like it or not, pitching, I think it's pretty obvious that Charlie Morton, for all his struggles yesterday, was a better option than Wasker and Noah, seeing what we saw from Wasker.
I disagree.
I know you do, because you're saying that Wasker was put into a position that he's not comfortable with, which is coming out of the pen. I understand what you're saying, but guess what? Who won the series 3-1?
Right. Well, again, the ends don't necessarily justify the means. There's no doubt about that. Right,
but no, they may not justify the means.
Just because you got the desired result doesn't mean it was the right decision. That happens a lot.
Well,
in sports.
Obviously, it does. Because
no,
you
that
got
happens
the result.
All the time in sports.
No. You can make all the right decisions and still lose the series. Correct.
You can make
mind,
all the wrong decisions and win the series.
Well, okay, fine. But if that's the case, if that's what you
I'm
believe,
I'm not taking
guess
the
what?
Win
they
or
won.
Series loss.
But you think they won in spite of Brian Snicker?
Sometimes, yeah. More often than they win because of him in the playoffs, yes.
I also think baseball managers are the least impactful coach in all of sports.
When they choose to be?
No, just in general. I mean, they just – because it is such an individual game. You give a guy a bat, you go up there and tell him to hit a pitcher. You know what I mean?
Well, so, I'll grant you this. Of all the sports, the players still need to perform, and the coach can't do that. I agree with you on that. He may make the right move out of the bullpen,
because it's not like you can. It's not like you can shift. You know the defense. I mean, you can shift
not
the defense,
entirely,
but I mean,
you can still beat the shift.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about the shift. I'm talking about you can't suddenly decide that you're going to blitz on every down, for example. You can't do that. There's the moves you make at baseball.
Why not? Maybe we
far more
subtle.
Maybe are work. Far more subtle. I mean, so I mean, you know, do you put a rope around Adam Duvall's waist, like, you know, get back guy? He's got to have get back guy on the base paths, or you know, I don't know. I mean, I all I know is they won the series against the Brewers 3-1. Brian Snicker was calling on guys who were, you know, when he rang their bell, they seemed to produce and did.
I mean,
so
I guess
very
Jock
well.
Peterson was 0-4 yesterday.
And your point is what?
I'm just saying, we're just going to credit everything he does as the right decision. He was 0 for 4.
Well,
he didn't do what he was in the lineup to do.
It wasn't like Eddie Rosario was giving you anything as a starter. And
maybe
you know,
he was, maybe he wasn't. That's the whole discussion.
Maybe he was.
But except, that's the same discussion.
Did I miss that he took
Noah.
A wrong path on a fly ball that almost killed you in game three, and the fact that he wasn't really hitting, but he came off the bench and gave you a two-run single in a clutch moment last night? Did I miss all that?
Well, but now we're going to credit. But I thought we just went through the idea that players still have to make the plays. So
yeah,
now we're crediting Snicker again?
Of course the players have to make the plays. That's my point. So,
everything gets overwritten because you won. Morton left the game not in a position to win. Like I don't understand why we're congratulating Charlie Morton and patting him on the back. He went 3 1/3. Is that what you brought him out to do on short rest? Was go 3 1/3 and leave the game down two runs?
You don't know what you don't know, and I don't know it either.
Right. I was going to say that argument goes both ways.
Right. And so, you know, we don't know what was said before the game. I mean, Brian Snicker admitted after game three that he didn't know what he was going to do the next day.
I think he had a pretty good idea. I think he just wanted to tell us.
But I also think he went to Charlie Morton before the game and said, you know, hey, listen, how do you feel here? You know, and if Charlie had said, you know what, I'm not comfortable here, I think he would have changed. But if you go to your starting, your number one guy, though you can argue that Max Fried is 1-1A.
Well, when you started him in game one, he was your one in this series.
So you go to him and you ask him, you know, because the one thing you don't want to do is start Wasker and Noah last night, have him get shelled, and have Charlie go, I could have pitched. You know, I mean, I could have gone. And everybody go, wait, you could have put the dagger into him, and we'd have what conversation would we be having this morning? Why didn't you pitch Charlie? You could have
the
dagger.
Yeah, I mean, we'll never know, and right? Again, it gets covered up by the Dodgers-Giants series going 5. So at the end of the day, it doesn't make a difference because you're still going to have Fried, and if you choose, which I think is a discussion to have later this week,
you know,
by the way,
and one of the things to keep in mind in this run where we don't have a title, one other thing to keep in mind here is that it's not like Brian Snicker has had the best team in baseball, okay? It's not like he has had that luxury or the honor or whatever you want to call it of managing clearly the best team in baseball. Now, there were times where you could argue that Bobby Cox may have had the best team. A couple of those years, I think the Braves were
and
the
been
best
in position
team in baseball.
To do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that Brian Snicker has never had in the four titles that he's won in a row. None of those teams was.
Yeah,
but
if we're gonna kill Bobby Cox for coming home 2-0 up in the World Series, I'm killing Brian Snicker for being up 3-1 in the NLCS. That's the same discussion to me.
Well, and you could also
you're
you know,
in a position
look at,
where you should again, win a series. And you don't.
Also, and this is Bobby Cox had the greatest starting threesome in the history of the game. We all understand that, and really at times it extended to four with guys like Avery and Lee Brandt in the years that they were able to put together. But Bobby Cox was also saddled with, and I don't mean this as any defense, with a very limited lineup. I mean, they went out and got Fred McGriff, which really helped them a lot, and not that Sid Bream didn't give them stuff, but for the most part, that team was somewhat limited. You know, it wasn't like the second iteration where you had Andrew Jones and Chipper Jones and you had bombers and, you know, Galarraga showed up and then you had some real serious bats. But that first go-round in the 90s, you had David Justice, you had Ron Gant, you had two really big bats, and that was pretty much – Terry Pendleton showed up and gave you some – but, I mean, the rest of the guys, I love them. I mean, they were my guys, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't like – if you look at Mark Lemke and Jeff Blauser and look at Ozzie Albies and Dansby Swanson, there's double of the offense or more, right? And you put Freddie at first, now suddenly there's triple the offense. And you put Darnell at catcher, and there's quadruple the offense. So, I mean, he's got more offensively. But now he's got starting pitching to go with it. Let's see what happens here. I think we're just starting. But that's just my take. Let's see what happens. Let's see if Brian can stay. You know, I'm not really so much worried of what Brian Snicker says. Look, whatever he says in the clubhouse is all that matters, right? Doesn't matter what he says to us. I don't care. What I care about is whether this Braves team can win. And I like their chances. I think they are going to be a very hard out for whoever they play in the NLCS or the World Series. We're going to do a little NFL burning questions because there are some ahead of Sweet Tea. We're going to do some burning questions. I'm going to ask Oren and Abe some burning questions that you can answer in your car too. Okay, these are burning questions in the NFL. Change the subject a little bit and then get back to the Braves here as we talk about their win on 90-9 the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game from the Mobile Kia Studios. Hugh's missed out this morning. What a day to do a show, huh? A lot of fun. As we get ready, no Falcons this week. He took vacation this week because there's not going to be a Falcons game, not knowing when he scheduled the vacation the Braves were going to be involved in this. I think a lot of us weren't expecting the Braves to be involved in this, and certainly not to do what they've done in this week. And, of course, it'll culminate with the beginning of the NLCS on Saturday against either the Giants or the Dodgers. And so that'll be tomorrow night, game five between those two in San Francisco, and then game one of the Astros and the Red Sox. How about the Boston Red Sox making it into the playoffs, making it to the American League Championship Series? That'll be game one on Friday, and then those two will play game two Saturday when the Braves play game one, all right? And so baseball all the way through. NFL this week, as we know, we have a triple header for you. Since no Falcons game this week, we have a triple header for you on 92 on the game on Sunday. Kansas City and Washington. With everything that's swirling around the Washington football team, the Chiefs, who are 2-3 and have the worst defense in the NFL, going to face Taylor Heinicke, a 12:30 kick on that. That will be followed by Dak Prescott and the Red Hot Cowboys going in to face Mac Jones of the Patriots at 4, and then capped by Seattle and Pittsburgh at 8, an NFL tripleheader. The Chiefs and Washington at 12:30, Cowboys and Patriots at 4, Seahawks and Steelers at 8, all live all day Sunday on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. That leads us to some NFL burning questions that we have this morning, and Oren and Abe are going to help me out with this. I'm going to ask some burning questions. You guys can jump in. I'll give you my two cents on them as well. Okay, guys, you ready? Are we ready? We ready? Yeah, we're ready. Don't sound too excited. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Yeah, let's
Yay.
Go.
Yay.
These are actually Abe's questions, but I've added to them in some cases. Well, it's just small stuff.
Like a the or an and or a
yeah,
but.
Kinda. All right,
my sort grammar of. Is perfect. How dare you?
Does the eventual Super Bowl champion come from one of these four teams? The Buccaneers, the Bills, the Chiefs. I don't know why they're in this list, and the Cardinals. Chiefs are cooked. I think the Chiefs are done, but that's just me. Bucks, Bills, according to Abe, Chiefs, and Cardinals. I would add somebody else on that list, but that's just me.
That's probably why I left
like
them
maybe
off.
Maybe the Rams or the Chargers. Or the
Ravens.
Yeah, or the Ravens. So does it come from that list at all? Bucks, Bills, Chiefs, Cardinals. Abe asks, what do you say there, Oren?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
You don't want to venture as to who you're just going to say it's coming from that list.
The Bucks or the Cardinals, one of those two.
Okay. Abe, this is your question. Does it come from one of those four teams, the Bucks, Bills, Chiefs, Cardinals?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the Rams, the Ravens, Chargers, I think all might have something to say. But I'm going to say either – I don't know why I still don't buy into the Cardinals, but I just don't. Either the Bucks or the Bills, who I know you've been hot on for a while now, it just kind of feels like one of those two teams are going to get it done. So I'll say yes.
Yeah, I am big into the Buffalo Bills. Watching them play, I just think they're the best team in the NFL. But that's just me, and that's kind of how I read it. So I think the Bills are the team to beat. Now, it doesn't mean they can't be beaten. We know the Bills' history, and they're up there in Buffalo grinding a little bit. You know, Bills Mafia knows full well, if you're not old enough to remember, the Bills lost four consecutive Super Bowls. Four straight, and boy, and they won. Scott Norwood wide right against the Giants. Oh my God! They kicked the field goal, dude. It was a chip shot. You win the Super Bowl. Another question here about this race with the coaching change that is taking place in Las Vegas. What do you expect the rest of the season from the Raiders? Will they make or miss the playoffs, Oren?
They will miss the playoffs.
Abe, will they make or miss the playoffs?
I'm with Oren. I think that AFC West is really strong, even with the Chiefs being at the bottom of it. I still think the Chiefs are somewhat of a good team. I think the Raiders, obviously, the mess that's happening on there, I think they're going to fall apart a little bit. I think they are going to miss the playoffs.
I agree. I think Broncos will play much better. And I'm not saying the Chiefs won't be a playoff team. They just are going to have to show me that they can play some sort of defense before I'm going to be able to throw them back into the mix here. Speaking of the Chiefs here, the odds are out for the new Raiders head coach. They have an interim coach right now. The top five in Vegas for the odds are all current offensive guys. And here is the list from 1 through 5 based on the best odds through the top five odds. The list is Oren and Abe. Eric Bieniemy at number 1, Brian Daboll at number 2, Joe Brady at number 3, Kellen Moore at number 4, and Byron Leftwich at number 5. All offensive guys in the NFL. Do you think the head coach of the Raiders comes from these five, the top five on the board? And if so, who, Oren?
I pulled really, really hard last year for Daboll to be here. So I'm going to say yes, and I think it's Brian Daboll. And it will sort of be amplified if, say, they win a Super Bowl title this year or Josh Allen is MVP. One of those two.
So you like Bieniemy, Run Daboll, Joe Brady, Kellen Moore, Byron Leftwich. Does it come from that list, or does it someone else, or who do you like, Abe?
That's a good question, John. Now, personally, I'm a big fan of Joe Brady. I think just how hot he is in terms of a head coach candidate will be dependent upon how Sam Darnold looks the rest of the way, if he looks pretty competent. Other than that, and I know a lot of people are pulling for Bieniemy, the job Kellen Moore has done with Dak Prescott in his year back, I mean, that offense is firing and cooking. He may be pretty high up there. He might be the guy.
Well, here's why I like Bieniemy. And, of course, everybody's going to point to the fact that, you know, given what Gruden said here, you know, there's the whole minority thing with Bieniemy and getting an opportunity, and maybe he's earned the opportunity. The thing about Eric Bieniemy that I think strikes me, there are two things. One, why I like it, which is that you're stealing from the Chiefs. I mean, you're going in the division and taking their guy.
That's a good point. Good point.
From them, you know. So, I mean, hey, listen, let's take their guy from them. I like that concept here. My only question about Eric Bieniemy, he's had opportunities here. Not the least of which, by the way, happened to be at his old school at Colorado. Maybe you haven't noticed, but Carl Durrell, who they did hire over Bieniemy in Boulder, is about to get fired. I mean, Colorado's offense is non-existent, and that team has fallen apart out there at CU. And they chose to hire Carl Durrell because of all of his connections to UCLA and to California recruiting and all that kind of stuff. Bieniemy's had opportunities here to at least interview with a number of teams for a number of jobs, both in college and the NFL. I wonder if he goes – I wonder if he goes through the interview process and does not interview well. I just wonder if that's the case. Anyway, we'll be interesting. I'm going to say yes, it comes from this list. And I'm going to say that they're going to raid the Chiefs and take Eric Bieniemy, and Mark Davis is going to make Eric Bieniemy the new head coach of the Raiders. That's the only thing I can think of.
It'll be a long time coming for him if it
does happen. Yeah, I've been wondering why he hasn't gotten an opportunity here. Given everything, the only thing I can circle back to is the fact that he done interview well.
Is he a professional interview or professional coach? I mean, let the guy coach and see what happens.
You ask, I'm going to kind of twist this a little bit. Would you be in favor of the NFL playing 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time games on a regular basis, even if the games aren't in London or overseas? Much as I might be, and I'm going to kind of skip and change this question a little bit, Abe. Yeah, I would. You know, as a fan, the union's never going to allow it. So we know that. I mean, the union's going to say no. And that's the only reason we get these 9:30 games. But I want to spin this a little bit. You saw Tottenham last week, right? We know that Arthur Blank has said that it is a fait accompli. Okay, that's the big word. It's a done deal that the NFL will have two teams in London. That's his impression. One at Wembley, one at Tottenham. The NFL will put two teams into England. In London. There is a story out there we haven't mentioned yet, and you may not have seen it. It's just kind of over here on the side. St. Louis has sued the NFL over the way the Rams left, okay, to go back to L.A. St. Louis won the lawsuit, and St. Louis is going to demand an expansion franchise as payment. And the NFL might be in a position through the courts of having to give St. Louis an expansion franchise. This might force a four-team expansion of the NFL. St. Louis and San Antonio, St. Louis and San Diego, St. Louis and somewhere else. Well, you have an opportunity, St. Louis and Toronto. You have an opportunity now, if you're going to be forced to expand, to go ahead and expand four teams and do the two London teams. Do you think, Oren and Abe, we will get it, as Arthur Blank has said, we will get two teams in London by 2027?
No.
Abe, do you think we will get two teams in London by 2027?
Two?
Yes.
No, I don't think you're going to have both. I think there's going to be a feeling out process, even if they expand to one. They'll want to see how that works for a couple seasons before they decide to move on a second one there.
I think they're going to put two in because it makes the most sense from a scheduling standpoint for teams in the AFC East, which is the logical place for them to be. And you can send somebody over like the Jets or New England, and they can play both teams, you know, kind of like travel partners. They do that in college. Mountain West Conference is the whole travel partner thing where they both come over, and then everybody goes over and plays two games, stays a week, and plays two games. We'll see. We'll see how this works out. But I think, yeah, London eventually is getting a team. Question is, are they getting two? Top of the hour, a little Hughes World Sans Hugh and Joe Patrick ahead. Get Joe's thoughts on whether or not this is, as we're taking your votes, a season peak or a magical run start of something. That's up at 9 to 9, the game on our Twitter. You can vote right now and jump into the combo. All ahead in the 9 o'clock hour. Next up, though, Sweet Tea brings the tea on Sports Radio 90 on the game.
Miss out on a hot topic?
Yeah.
No worries. Anitra's got you covered as Sweet Tea brings the tea on Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
Hot time for a little Sweet Tea. Tea, how you doing?
Good morning, John. How are you?
Doing very, very, very well.
Ooh, I like it. This is Happy John. Happy
oh,
John
yeah, it
Frankie.
Is very Happy John after last night. Yeah.
Hey, let me
ask you that question because we're talking about it on our Twitter at 929.
Okay.
Why don't you answer this here? Was was Freddie Freeman's home run to beat the Brewers last night, was it the end of more than we could have expected given where we were this season, or was it the start of a magical run? You're going to say it was, you're going to vote season peak or just starting.
Now, John, you know I am such a glass half full type of girl. So I'm going with just starting. I am.
Well, that's what I want to hear. I mean, yeah. You can make a case that it was the peak of the season.
Certainly.
And by the way, if that was the peak, you know, peak of the season, it was more than that's the point of me asking, and he voted peak of the season. It was more than I could have expected when they were 7.5 games out, you know, and floundering around, and Acuna was getting injured, and I'm going, okay, this ain't going to work this year.
Right. Or you got the 18 games where they win, they lose, they win, they lose. Yeah, so, you know what this reminds me of? This is, well, I'm going to say two things. I'm going to go glass half full, and I wish he was here because you know he'd go in on me with what I'm about to say. But but the first thing is, I feel like this is the same question that you could have asked at the end of last season, at the end of the Hawks season, and you would have been perfectly within your right to answer it either way.
Right.
Just like I think a Braves fan, which I am, I admit that. That's full disclosure. That's the one team I've rooted for from Atlanta my entire life. So if you answer that question either way, I think you're good to go. Mm-hmm. And I think if at the end of this season, the Falcons surprised you, and I'm not saying playoff surprise, by the way, not like that, but if they had something, you know, close to a winning record or a 500, well, they can't go 500 because it's 17, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
right,
sure.
There at 500, I think you could also make the case to answer that question either way. You just never know until someone takes the field, because unfortunately, I couldn't physically watch the game in its entirety last night. I had conference calls, and so I had to kind of like peek in on Twitter and kind of peek in on the game cast and that sort of thing. And I can't tell you, John, well, you know, the elation, like, unbelievable elation for the Braves, but also for Freddie Freeman, thinking about how he started the season as well.
You know, I've been saying for an awful long time, maybe I'm just trying to speak it into existence, to use Hughes' words, or maybe I'm just the eternal Kool-Aid bandwagon optimist that I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I also look at a T from, you know, stepping back, going, you know, this town has got, you know, there's talent in this town. Every team's got something, right? I mean,
yes.
And so as a result, once we start winning titles, we're going to start winning titles.
Winning titles.
Atlanta, you know, you've got to think. Kool-Aid boy, what are you talking about?
Keep going, Kool-Aid boy.
We're still hopeful that United is going to make a run with six games to go in the regular season when they get back to playing on Saturday against Toronto. And there's a lot of optimism about the Hawks. And I know that you're going to be the new in-game host at State Farm Arena this year. Let me ask about the Hawks here. As we get going, they're going to play the Heat tomorrow night. Would you be surprised if Trey or DeAndre plays? How would you handle that? I mean, setting you want to get DeAndre and Trey some minutes against the fact that right now the most important thing is to be healthy for that game against Luka and the Mavs.
Yep, you just said it. I think you sit Trey, and I'd be shocked if he didn't sit tomorrow. And I think you, if possible, if DeAndre, I mean, he looked good, they said, in practice on Monday. So if he looks good again in practice this morning, then, yeah, you get him a couple more minutes. Because I will tell you, when I saw him in person last week, you know, it took him until about the third quarter to kind of find his footing. So it wouldn't be a bad idea to give him a few minutes. But Trey, you sit. Because, like you said, next Thursday, it'll come around so quickly. And I think he's the one person who, hey, he can hit the ground running more than anybody. Because prior to that, other than, of course, that crazy injury in the last series of last season, but he was fine. Whereas DeAndre was literally coming off surgery. So a little bit of a different situation there.
You know, and the Hawks are going to go into this with not a whole lot of expectation from the national media, which is picking him to finish fifth or sixth in the East. And the Hawks are probably looking at that going, okay, that's what
I'm
you think.
I'm looking at that going, okay. Like, that's crazy.
I think they're being snarky about it. They're going, okay, they're rolling their eyes. Okay,
they
that's
should.
What you really think? Okay,
right.
All right, fine, you know.
This is the last team to do that with. This is the very last team. I call them Lil Scrappy because they literally take to that kind of thing and they embrace it and then they just run with it. And I heard Michael Pena, I think he said he picked them third, and I said, okay, I can give you that in terms of looking at what the Nets might be once Kyrie comes back or what the Bucks might be.
If so he comes back.
Yeah, kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, well, he may not. I mean, forget that he's not, you know, because originally it was, well, he can't play these games in this way. Now he can't do nothing. He can't even practice with the team.
Which goes back to that's the kind of thing, the craziness of the NBA, whether it's injuries or your stance on COVID or whatever the case may be, that could make the top of that. And of course, wouldn't you know it, what's his name, reports to the Sixers practice. And I'm going, Ben Simmons. And I'm going, really? So you just kind of never know how things will play out, how they'll flesh out. And that's what I've been saying, even talking amongst fellow Hawks beat reporters. This team is built to go as deep as they want to go. We really just don't know what the injury bug is going to do to them. Hopefully,
well, yeah, but
not
nobody
as much.
Knows that. I mean, when you're making preseason predictions,
that's the thing.
You can't project COVID or injuries or any of that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So you just, you know, base it on the, you know, the lineup and the aptitude of the lineup that you have that you happen to throw out there at the beginning of the year. And of course, there's you know, we certainly hope that DeAndre Hunter is going to play up to what we saw at the beginning of last year, where he was an All-Star level guy. And we hope that Cam Reddish, you know, blows it. One of the reasons we were so hot on the idea of keeping Cam Reddish on this team at the end of last year was that Cam Reddish was going to be that guy. Now, the Falcons, you know, they're kind of the outlier here. I still have, you know, it's like buying a stock, okay? I mean, short term, I'm not expecting a pop. Long term, you're invested long term here with Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot, okay? So it's a long term investment, okay? And so if we get returns in 2 years, that's fine. It's just, you know, a little chunky between now and then. One of the chunky things is going to be in about 3 weeks, we're going to hit the NFL trade deadline. So 3 weeks from now, the NFL trade deadline is going to come up, and as a result, the Falcons are going to have to make an early call as to whether or not they're going to be involved in that, and would you take market value for suddenly, and I don't want to have you spit your coffee this morning, but would the Falcons be in the business of trading a Cordero Patterson? Would they be in the business of trading a Hayden Hurst? Would they be in the business of trading a Deion Jones? I mean, would they be in the business of trying to secure a bunch of picks going forward or things of that nature? I don't know, but we have to kind of keep our eyes open to the possibility that they may be.
Right. And I would imagine it depends on, and this, of course, is going to sound so basic, but it's got a little background, but I imagine it truly would depend on whether or not there were partners that were willing to give up what they wanted. So for whatever reason, Minkah Fitzpatrick comes to mind, right? Because at the time that the Steelers acquired him from the Dolphins, it was worth everything. And it's still paying off, by the way. It was worth everything that they gave to the Dolphins for them to make the run that they wanted to make at that time. And so that really depends. Obviously, for the Falcons, it wouldn't be about a run this year, but it might be about, does it put us a step closer to as you mentioned, kind of that return on investment coming sooner rather than later within the next 2 to 3 years. Now, don't get me wrong. CP is your MVP, is your team MVP to this point.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, absolutely. But he's also a little longer in the tooth, too. I mean, is he part of your long-term plan for this team? Probably not.
Right, but he could be at least a part of your 2-year plan.
Oh, no question. These are the things that Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith have to answer. I get it. I'm not advocating for anything. I'm not predicting anything. I'm just saying these are the decisions that must be made in terms of buying long-term into the Falcons, because the rest of it, the Braves are now. United is probably now. The Hawks are now. They're now.
Yeah.
So,
and how close do you want to get? How close with any trade partners? How close would that put you to now? And now, to your point, not meaning 2021, but now within that 2 to 3 window, like how close does it get you relative to your first hurdle, which is to win the division? Mm-hmm. That's your first hurdle,
right? And you still have the guy that's going to be playing for the next 60 years down there playing quarterback till he's 93.
Right. Dude. And looking like a 29, 22-year-old doing it. It's crazy. I wanted to ask you this question real quick. And I thought about it. It's probably not funny to the Milwaukee fan base, but guess what? It's funny to us. So I imagine that when the Brewers get back, you know, hey, great season. But I wonder if anybody will really recognize them or know them from Adam or even care. And then you think about, and, you know, because they got ousted much earlier in the postseason than they thought they would, right? But you would think somebody like Giannis, who, like you said, brought that city a championship, and now they're probably looking for more and more titles. You'd think people would actually know him when they see him, right? Mm-hmm. He walks into a grocery store late night, just a quick run or whatever. This is a 6'11" dude in the middle of Milwaukee. Not a soul recognized him. Didn't look at him. Didn't say, I think I know him. But he actually liked it, by the way. Kind of like the anonymity. And I thought to myself, like, wow, the guy that brought you a championship and maybe is going to kind of put your city in position to be on a run, if you will, or even, you know, the state, if you will, nobody knows him. Nobody? That's crazy.
Doesn't
to me.
The 6'11" give it away? You know, I mean, just a little bit.
For starters. And then I thought to myself, I said, you know, and then I started mentally going down the list of our superstars here. And I said, oh, my God, like, I would know Ronald Acuna, Freddie Freeman, Joseph Martinez, Trey Young. I mean, like, Matt Ryan. Like, I would know these guys. And especially I'll go to Matt and Freddie because, you know, we're talking about the hype factor, if you will. I'm going to double pump on that in a heartbeat and go, that guy's probably that guy. All right, Milwaukee.
Yeah, Max Fried could probably walk in a lot of places and people wouldn't, you know, they may not recognize him. I don't know. Yeah. But more so football players because of the helmet thing, I guess.
Right. But Giannis?
But Giannis?
Because, yeah, your arena.
Kind of in
so
your living
intimate,
room, front and center, guy, doing right. commercials. You're 6'11".
Yeah, Milwaukee. Yeah, just, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But I don't know. Well, 8 days away from the opener. Are you getting excited, by the way?
I am. I'm getting really excited. I think it's going to be something special we're about to witness.
And for you personally, too. All right,
yes,
thanks, Nitra.
Thank you, John. Okay.
At Tanitra Batiste on the Twitter here. She covers the Falcons for us, does all the news stuff, hosts her own show, does a whole bunch of stuff. Now in-game host at the Atlanta Hawks at State Farm Arena. Hughes World, minus you, next. And Joe Patrick on the Braves, all ahead, 9 o'clock hour on Sports Radio 90 Town again.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.